transcription of the July 28th, 1992 City Council meeting of Santa Cruz, certain sections of it, starting with the 3:30 p.m. session. Particularly of interest, the Butchie-Baker debate. Women's Commission presented a resolution that Baker be benched and that an independent investigator be appointed to study whether Baker has been sexually harassing 9 women who filed complaints against him. This investigation is over 8 or 9 months old, and here's the debate on some of it. That'll be one of the highlights of this great tape. Comes now the Butchie-Baker debate, which began in the afternoon and ended in the evening session. We will hear the complete transcript starting now.
So, before we proceed to the next item, it's worth noting, the time. Normally 10 minutes from now, we would need to stop and have a dinner break, and we have item 49, the regular item 49 will probably be fairly brief. 49.1, we have at least 13 members of the public who would like to comment on it. And then we have a few other items from council members. We have a redevelopment agenda. I think I'd like to get some guidance from the council as to how we'd like to proceed with this, because there are people who are obviously have been waiting a long time, and perhaps some of them need not wait if we are clear, if we're sure we're not going to get to their item in the near future. So what is the council's pleasure? Pardon? Yeah, I think we all are. So the question is, how do we apportion, where are we going to move things around? That's the question. Ms. Byers.
I'd like to suggest that we do, since so many people are here now, that we do 49-1. It may push our dinner break later, but people wouldn't have to leave and come back if we could just complete it. So I'm suggesting that we do that one. I think the attendance for the others is less.
Okay, well, the question, so what is the implication of what would happen with the rest of those items? The other items.
We do 49-1, take 8. What is it now? We're taking 45-minute dinner break or half hour? I can't remember.
And, 45 has been the minimum we've had.
Okay, and then we continue those.
What time are we talking about convening the evening session? I guess it's also what time, how much time would we give to 49-1?
Well, I think we give whatever time it's going to take people. It always matters where you fall on the agenda, if you're fair. We didn't limit any amount of time in any agenda item. Just because there's more people that want to stop talking, what does it mean? It's to me that we limit it.
Mr. Rittenhouse. One of two alternatives strikes me. Either we can set a limit of 30 minutes to hear this, and then reconvene at 7:30, or we can postpone all of this and hear everything in order at 7 o'clock. I think asking the public and that group are going to be coming at 7 to wait any longer than 7:30 to begin is a little bit of a hardship as well.
I want to make one comment about that. Just for those of you who don't know, the council started meeting at 1:30 today, and we had a 5-minute break to walk from one meeting room to the other. And so, it is really important for us to have a break. This is going to be the longest meeting we've probably ever had at the rate we're going. So I think we need to recognize that. I think if we do item 49-1 now, we're going to go, that's going to take an hour easy. I don't think that's in question. So we need to decide, do we really want to wait until 7 at least before we even begin our break, and then we're going to be in the evening session quite a bit later than was scheduled, and including a public hearing that we noticed for 7, that was expected to be shortly after 7. Mr. Coonerty?
Can we possibly do 49 now, hear people on 49-1 who cannot come back at 7, adjourn at 6:15, have the dinner and return at 7 and start the rest of 49-1 at that point? Anybody that cannot return, we can hear now.
Okay. Okay, well...
You're suggesting breaking it up. Mm-hmm. If everyone can come back, that implies that we stop now and go up to dinner.
Correct.
That sounds... That would be acceptable to me. Is there any concern with that? Okay, so that's what we'll do. We're going to do 49, which I think will be very brief, and then we'll take only testimony from people on 49 when he can't return at the beginning of the evening session. Okay. So on item 49.1, this is the recommendation from the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. And I would repeat what I said a moment ago, which is that we will just hear from people who would not be able to return at 7 or approximately 7 when we reconvene. So, and we do request, in light of the numerous comments that we have, that you keep your comments brief. I will, Ms. Brooks is the chair of the commission and probably needs to be allowed a little more time to make a full presentation, but I even want to caution you to keep it brief.
I will. I'll read fast. And also, I just wanted to note that there are other commissioners here that I wanted to respect that they have to leave. So if you have questions for any of us, we're available for that. Mayor Lane, council members, I am Lori Brooks. I'm the chair of the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. Before I begin, I just wanted to say for the record that, I hope that the city police and advocates for the Police Review Commission will hear this, that we are not interested in a civilian review board one way or the other. We have no interest in that. And we have not sought publicity on this issue. And just because of a Sentinel article this morning, I need to say that Sherry Connable does not speak for the commission. The Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women believes that public perception of police misconduct is integral to the prompt reporting of crimes of violence against women, particularly sexual assault and domestic violence, which until the past decade were often not taken seriously by the criminal justice system. Although the commission is not a civilian review board and is not attempting to assume that function at all, we are concerned that allegations of sexual misconduct against Officer Baker, whether valid or not, have a very negative impact on the community's view of the Santa Cruz City Police Department. Community concerns regarding these allegations have grown instead of lessened. And we received quite a bit of public testimony at our meeting last week. Numerous community members have expressed concerns to commissioners regarding the length of the investigation and the perception that complaints are not considered credible and the continued active duty of this officer accused of sexual misconduct. Women who live in the margin of society, such as poor women, homeless women, women who use drugs, prostitutes, etc., have a very high risk of experiencing violence in their lives. They are also not considered credible witnesses within the criminal justice system. This perceived lack of credibility, in turn, makes them more vulnerable and less capable of recourse. The commission firmly believes that every woman, regardless of her lifestyle, is fully entitled to protection and respect. Since November of 1991, the commission has received complaints from and conducted interviews with 3 women and received 5 other complaints from the city, from the police department against Officer Baker. We've met with Chief Bassett to discuss policies about cross-gender searches. We've met with various council members as well as the city attorney and the city manager and have had subsequent meetings with the police department to discuss these matters. And then on the 22nd, we also reviewed the outcome from the district attorney's office. And on the 22nd meeting last Wednesday, we had the district attorney and Chief Deputy District Attorney John Hopkins address us and answer questions. And they presented information regarding the evidence, which was presented to the grand jury. And following a review of all of the materials that have been available to us, we are compelled by concern about these serious allegations to make these recommendations that, one, the City Council either examine all of the documents of the Santa Cruz Police Department's internal investigation of misconduct allegations against Santa Cruz Police Officer Lauren Butch Baker, including the confidential personnel documents, and or delegate the examination of this investigation to the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women for our review, or hire an outside investigator to conduct such an examination. And that, number two, Officer Baker be assigned to desk duty until a final report is completed on this further investigation. The Commission has waited until a determination was made regarding criminal charges against Officer Baker and until information from the District Attorney's investigation was made available to us. And due to the Commission not meeting in August and the City Council also not meeting in August, we felt it was necessary to go ahead and act now and ask and present these recommendations to you. The Police Subcommittee of the Commission will review the Santa Cruz City Police Department's report on the misconduct allegations and continues to discuss these recommendations, the recommendations that we would like to make about their police policy and procedures to the council in September. This is very important to me, that we would like to emphasize that allegations of inappropriate conduct by Santa Cruz police officers are rare, and that we commend the positive and progressive law enforcement policies of the Santa Cruz Police Department, particularly the department's strong proactive concern for the needs of victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. They've really made a lot of movement with us in these areas. Over the past 10 years, the dialogue and cooperation between the Commission and the Police Department has grown and deepened, and we really appreciate this relationship and look forward to continuing our mutually beneficial association. Further, we have great confidence in the Santa Cruz City Police Department's desire and ability to serve all citizens appropriately, respectfully, and fairly. In addition, I want to add that 9 women came forward with complaints against Officer Baker, and no disciplinary action has been taken. Because there is a history of women not being believed when they say that they have been sexually assaulted or sexually harassed, it is hard for many people in our community to understand why these women have not been believed. It is important that these doubts be laid to rest. I would like to simply reiterate that our primary concern is that public confidence in the police department be secured. And I would like to thank the council for considering our recommendations and for your continual support toward a violence-free community. And we have a few other members of the commission are available for questions.
Others who cannot return.
Good afternoon, members of the council, Mayor Lane. My name is Lori Klein. Thank you for making this accommodation because I cannot return at 7. I'm a resident of Santa Cruz. I'm an attorney in the community. I do a variety of different types of law. I'm not affiliated with any particular organization. I'm just speaking to you as a member of the community. I want to commend the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women for their recommendations. I've been to their last couple of meetings. They've taken a lot of testimony, and it seems that their recommendations are well considered, and the minimum that this council really should have done months ago. We have always needed an independent investigation of the allegations against Officer Baker, and it is outrageous that after 9 women came forward and made these allegations, that Officer Baker was not immediately put on desk duty. At a minimum, these things should be accomplished now. At the last commission meeting, the district attorney and the chief deputy district attorney made a report to the commission that I listened to, and I think that their report is an indication that they do have had a bias against these allegations, against finding the truth of these allegations. One example of that is that they concluded in their internal office memorandum that the strip search statute, Penal Code Section 4030, does not apply to any of these cases because they involve arrests for drugs or weapons. That is a complete misreading of Penal Code Section 4030. To the extent that that statute provides for different treatment of drug arrests and arrests for prostitution, it only applies to a portion of the statute which talks about the type of written authorization you need to conduct a strip search. Certainly, the part of the statute which says that strip searches should be conducted by a member of the same sex as the person being searched is not at all affected by the type of arrest. It's a completely separate portion of the statute. I think there were other examples of the district attorney's bias, but I don't want to take up the council's time with those. The district attorney's office is interested in Officer Baker being cleared because of the very close relationship the district attorney's office has with the police department. They depend on the police department to make their cases in court. And I think that at this time, it is appropriate for an independent investigator to look into these allegations. The fact that the grand jury has decided that criminal charges should not be brought against Officer Baker has nothing to do with the fact that Officer Baker may well have acted incorrectly and improperly. And as a woman, it is incredible to me that 9 women would have made these allegations and that all 9 of them are lying. So as a member of the community, I strongly urge the council to adopt the recommendations of the commission. There's the usual scuttlebutt that this issue is such a hot one, it needs to be swept under the rug until after the election. Given that there is a potential that these allegations may be true and Officer Baker is still on active duty and interacting with the public, it would be reprehensible if the council were to take that action or inaction, as the case may be. So again, I urge you to adopt the commission's recommendations. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rona Yohalam. I'm also a member of the community. And I really didn't know much about the details of this case. I got a flyer last week and went to the commission hearing to listen to the DA's report. What I understood is the facts of the case, which seems to be undisputed, is that 9 people have accused one other person of activities that are against the law. The DA's report suggests that they've done everything they could and yet were unable to get an indictment from the grand jury. I have to tell you, I find that there is a credibility problem, but the credibility problem for me is not 9 women, but the DA who can't get the grand jury to give an indictment when 9 separate people have accused one other person of activities which are against the law. I don't understand that. It strikes me as there must be a reason. Either the DA is not zealously investigating this and presenting it to the grand jury, or else I'm concerned about the competence of the DA's office that they can't get an indictment. I don't understand it. I think there's something wrong, and if it were 9 people, that is not 9 women and not a police officer, an indictment would have been handed down immediately. There would have been no issue about this. I find as a citizen and not connected with any group and not on the commission that I'm concerned both about the ability of the police department to control its own people and therefore protect my rights, and I'm also concerned about the DA's office ability to investigate allegations when they have a pattern of abuse. Something's wrong somewhere. It strikes me as having the DA's office involved and unable to find evidence for this with 9 witnesses, 9 people, that there must be something going on, and I'd like to find out what that is. Maybe the DA's office needs to be investigated, or maybe that they're not unbiased. When they stood there, I mean, I felt, listening to that report, like somebody had just said to me, don't worry your pretty little head, we'll get the facts, and we'll determine with objectivity what the evidence is. Well, it also defies what I understand as our legal system, which in order to get the facts requires two sides presenting their perspectives, a judge who oversees it, and a jury to determine what the facts are. Not one man standing up there saying, I'll give you the facts, and I'll take care of everything. So I'm real concerned as a citizen of this county about what's going to be done, and I certainly support Commission's recommendation for doing something about it. Furthermore, unlike the Commission, I have to tell you, it worries me that we don't have a civilian police review commission, because I believe if we had civilians overseeing this, that maybe the results would have been very different in terms of the investigation. And I believe that if we have people who have the right to take away our liberty, and people who would give and power such that we give them guns, that we damn well ought to be having an oversight committee of some way to ensure that our liberties are protected, because I feel as a woman, mine are not right now.
So I believe we've probably heard from everyone until we reconvene, and we'll continue discussing this item and hear more testimony from members of the public at that time. Thank you very much. So we'll reconvene as close to 7 o'clock as possible. Good evening. I just want to let everyone know a little bit about what's going on with our agenda. I'll officially reconvene the meeting and then let you know that the council had quite a lengthy agenda this afternoon and did not complete the items on the afternoon agenda, and we were in the middle of item 49.1, which is recommendations from the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women regarding police misconduct allegations. And that will be the first item of business, or we will continue on that item momentarily. I want to let everyone know that that item will take a little bit of time. We're going to complete that item before we move to oral communications. Then after we do oral communications, we're going to continue on with at least some of the afternoon items that are left over. We may hold some of them to the end of the meeting, but we're going to see which ones council members feel we need to do earlier, because they are sort of listed first on the agenda and they have priority until the council changes that priority. If you're here on, we suspect that the major item of interest for the evening, you know, that people came for was the public hearing on the earthquake funds. And I certainly want to encourage you to hang around, you know, stick around, but just to also let you know that that's not going to happen in the next few minutes. It's going to be easily a half an hour. It could be quite a bit longer than that before we get to that item. So just, I apologize that happened, but we often have a situation where we have a lot of testimony on afternoon items and we get behind our schedule.
I just think maybe we can set us a time certain.
Okay, one. Let's say 8:30. Okay, what's been suggested, if the council doesn't object, is that we will set a time certain of 8:30 to begin that public hearing, so that way if you don't want to wait an hour and 15 minutes for that would be, is that agreeable to the council? So we will set that time, and so if you don't want to stick around for the other items, you're welcome to leave, and that way we might get some more room in the council chambers for people who are still here from the afternoon items.
So the earthquake funding question
will be at 8:30. Yes. Okay, so I guess so as we begin, I'll ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Councilman.
So, as I mentioned, we will proceed with the item 49.1, which is the recommendations from the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. This is not a public hearing, so it's not an unlimited public testimony item. However, we do have still about 10 people who signed up this afternoon to speak on this item, and I'll call on them to speak, and then the matter will be taken back to the Council for action. The next speaker, and I'll read the next few speakers, Margaret Marr, Sherry Connable, Lotus Maynor, and then I'll call other names as we come in. We ask you to limit your comments to 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. First of all, let me indicate that I believe there are many additional members of the public who are present at 7 o'clock in anticipation of this item who may also wish to be heard. You might suggest that they fill out green cards as well if they wish to be heard at this time.
Just to clarify that, I will not be doing that because this item was an afternoon item. Those who wish to come, had the opportunity to come in the afternoon and sign up. And that's just necessary because if I open up for unlimited speakers, we can go on all night with this one item. And that's the procedure unless the council votes otherwise. So at this point, that's how we'll operate until a council member makes a motion otherwise.
Allow me to ask that the council do that because I know that there are several members of the public who work and who could not get away who wanted to address you this evening and had intended to do so during oral communications. If you were not available to do so this afternoon. At any rate, and I hope that you'll address that, allow me to say what I had planned to say. And that is that my name is Margaret Marr, and I'm an attorney. I'm also a member of the community. And I have been assisting one of the victims of officer's police misconduct, sexual misconduct, throughout the course of this complaint process, which has gone on for more than 8 months. In connection with that, I have met with many members of the public and concerned citizen groups. And out of that, let me say that I wholeheartedly concur in the recommendations of the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. One of those recommendations is that Officer Baker be placed on desk duty pending investigation or review of internal affairs reports either by this body, by its designee, the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, or by a hired and independent investigator. It has come to my attention that it may not be possible for this council to vote publicly to place Mr. Baker on desk duty because of labor law. That does not prevent you from making a policy statement that allegations of sexual misconduct are in fact very serious. And like a school teacher, when one is accused of sexual misconduct, it is appropriate to suspend that person pending the completion of the investigation. It is not a conclusion of guilt. It is instead an appropriate measure to protect this body against future liability claims. You are free this evening to state that these are very serious allegations, and that you deem them appropriate for the police chief to take the action which he has available to him when he is confronted with a serious allegation of police misconduct, and he deems it in the community's best interest to either to suspend that officer or to reassign him or her pending investigation. That the chief of police has failed to do so during the pendency of this investigation indicates that he does not take these things seriously. If he deemed them to be serious allegations, he could have chosen to suspend the officer during the 8 months that this has gone on. He has chosen not to. I urge you to announce the policy publicly tonight and to, in closed session and in executive session, to direct the city manager, to direct the chief of police, to suspend him and place him on desk duty, or more specifically, to place him on desk duty pending the conclusion of an investigation into the internal affairs reports of the police department. Second, among the options for review of the internal affairs reports, believe that the superior option is to hire an independent investigator. The reason for that is that the council and the commission are not skilled in their review of internal affairs reports, nor does it have the time to do an adequate job. The independent investigator, which let me suggest as an option, would be to hire someone from out of the community who is not biased by law enforcement nor familiar with the politics of this community, which has shrouded this investigation. That independent investigator would have the authority not only, I would ask you to give him or her the authority not only to review the internal affairs reports of the police, but also to conduct an independent investigation, to re-interview witnesses, to identify new witnesses, to identify new physical evidence, to ensure that a fair and impartial investigation has in fact been conducted. There has been some concern that this independent investigator would not have access to the police officers and be able to secure the police officer's statements. In fact, I would encourage you to direct the police department to cooperate with this independent investigator in every way. The chief, because the independent investigator would not be investigating criminal charges as the district attorney has failed or has done or has failed to do in this case, he would be looking only at employee misconduct. As a consequence, the chief of police can direct the employees of the chief of the department to cooperate and to give statements to that investigator, just as the police department already has. That investigator would also have access to the reports that were the interviews of the police officers that have already been conducted.
Ms. Maher, you do need to...
Right.
3 minutes has elapsed already, but go ahead and conclude your remarks.
Thank you. So, in summary, we ask that you announce a policy that these allegations are serious and worthy of suspending the question... the person who has been alleged to have conducted this conduct. Second, to among the options the commission has given you to hire an independent investigator. Third, to direct that independent investigator not only to review the internal affairs report but to conduct an independent investigation. And fourth, direct the police department to direct its employees to cooperate to the full extent with that investigator. Let me indicate to you what is not being asked. What is not being asked is that you...
Let me indicate to you that it's time for you to conclude your remarks.
This is the concluding remark. You are not being asked to send this off to Attorney General Dan Lundgren, who is enormously conservative and whose bias might even be more questioned than the district attorney's. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Sherry Connable. I think most of you know that I've been in the middle of this struggle in this situation since last November when the allegations first surfaced. And you have a long letter from me about my feelings about where we are at this point in time. I'd like to thank the commission and Lori Brooks for clearing up, I think, what was a misperception in the Sentinel today about who speaks for who. I do not speak for the commission. We play different roles in the community, and I certainly respect the one that they play. I'm also here to ask you tonight to accept their recommendations to you. The group of women that you have appointed to be your experts and your advisors on matters of violence and women in this community, that you will trust that they have put many hours of work and thought and applying their conscience and their principles into these recommendations, that you will therefore act on these recommendations as Margaret Maher has spelled out. I also want to respond to a conversation that the mayor and I had in the last couple of days in which he said to me that it felt to him and possibly to others that I would really appreciate if people were listening to me. That it appeared to him and to others that the only resolution of this situation that I would accept would be if somebody found that Baker, in fact, had done this and that the women were right and he was wrong and that he should be dealt with accordingly. That is not the case. It is the case that I do believe that we are enmeshed in a sexist and classist and discriminatory culture. And it's also the case that I believe that the city and the community that I believe in has a choice about changing that course and standing up for a different set of values. when I know that my city and my government and the people that I helped elected to that government have stood up for a different set of values, have really assured that these women will receive a fair and impartial hearing, and have identified the seriousness of this situation with concrete, decisive action. If after all that is done, the officer is cleared, then I might still talk about sexism and classism, but I can at least believe that my city and my community has charted a different course and has stood up for the rights of women and has demanded that these women be taken seriously. And I want to close by saying that I really believe, as I believed last November, I believe it now, there's a very serious situation in front of us. To accept the recommendations that the Women's Commission, the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, has given you, I think serves all four parties that I see involved in having a stake in this, and that is Officer Baker, the police department, the nine women who have filed their formal complaints, and the community of Santa Cruz that's waiting to hear, what are you going to do about this? How seriously are you going to take this?
Your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker is Lotus Maynard, and then Robert Norris and Lori of the Santa Cruz Union for the Home.